10 years earlier. Gran's hand was cold in mine, her skin papery and thin, the bones beneath fragile as a bird's. I hated this. It was just too soon.
Agnes?
Her voice was a rasp, barely audible above the hum of the hospital equipment, machines that beeped their steady rhythm, marking time we both knew was running out.
Come closer, my dear.
I leaned in, my chair scraping against the linoleum. The room smelled of antiseptic and an unwelcome clinical smell of hospitals that made you ache for your own bed.
I'm here, Gran.
Her eyes fluttered open, and for a moment they were sharp, sharper than they'd been in days, cutting through the fog of medication and illness with an intensity that made my breath catch.
We need to talk, she said, about Graham.
My heart stumbled. I'd spent the summer falling in love with my childhood friend. I'd only been home from uni for a day when I'd walked into the Tipsy Thistle, ready to give Graham grief over his newly acquired pub, and he'd looked up and locked eyes with me across the room. He'd grown up while I had been gone, filled out. The lanky boy I remembered had been replaced by a man with broad shoulders and tattoos peeking from under rolled sleeves and a jaw that could cut glass. But it was his eyes that stopped me. The same warm, soulful eyes they'd always been, crinkling at the corners when he saw me.
Well, well, he'd said, that familiar voice now a low rasp that did something uncomfortable to my stomach. Look what the cat dragged back in from the big city.
Graham Kincaid.
I crossed to the bar, trying to ignore the way my heart was suddenly pounding.
You've got muscles now. When did that happen?
Somewhere between you leaving and coming back, apparently.
He grinned and slid a glass of wine across the bar without me having to ask.
Missed you, Agnes.
And that was it. Three words spoken casually like they didn't matter, but the way he'd looked at me when he said them, like I was someone he'd been waiting for without knowing it, had cracked something open inside me and I hadn't been the same since.
Of course,
I thought. The realization settling into my bones like coming home.
Of course. There you are.
The next few months had been the best of my life. The first time he kissed me was on the rocky shores of Loch Murrin, the sunset gilding the water with a soft golden light. He'd been mid-sentence, something about the pub and a failed attempt at cooking, when he'd stopped, looked at me and said,
I'm going to kiss you now, if that's all right.
It's all right,
I'd whispered, and then his mouth was on mine and the world had fallen away. We spent the rest of the summer tangled up in each other, long walks that turned into longer conversations, late nights at his flat above the pub, learning each other's bodies with that joyful laziness you have when you think the mornings will never come. I'd never been so happy.
Gran, you need to rest.
I'll rest soon enough.
A ghost of her old wry humour flickered across her face before fading into something grimmer.
I'll rest forever, soon enough. But first, you need to listen to me, child, really listen.
I nodded, not trusting my voice.
I've watched you this summer.
Her grip on my hand tightened with surprising strength.
I've seen the way you look at him and the way he looks back. Like you've finally found the thing you've been searching for your whole life.
Tears pricked at my eyes. That was exactly how it felt. After years of fumbling through brief relationships that had never quite fit, of kissing boys who read big books but never made my heart race, I'd come home and found Graham waiting. Graham, who'd been there all along.
I wore that look once,
Gran continued, her voice softening into memory.
With your grandfather, the day I met him, I knew. Just knew in my bones that he was the one. We had 2 years together, Agnes. 2 perfect years. And then the loch took him.